Katniss? I can feel PETA's grip on my arm. It's her, I get out. Who? Asks PETA. My head snaps from side to side as I examine the pack, taking in the various sizes and colors. The small one with the red coat and amber eyes, Foxface. And there, the ashen hair and hazel eyes of the boy from District 9 who died as we struggled for the backpack. And worst of all, the smallest mutt, with dark glossy fur, huge brown eyes, and a collar that reads 11 in woven straw. Teeth bared in hatred. Rue. What is it, Katniss? PETA shakes my shoulder. It's them. It's all of them. The others, Rue and Foxface and all of the other tributes. I choke out. I hear PETA's gasp in recognition. What did they do to them? You don't think those could be their real eyes? Their eyes are the least of my worries. What about their brains? Have they been given any of the real tributes' memories? Have they been programmed to hate our faces particularly because we have survived and they were so callously murdered? And the ones we actually killed? Do they believe they're avenging their own deaths? Before I can get this out, the mutts begin a new assault on the horn. They've split into two groups at the sides of the horn and are using those powerful hindquarters to launch themselves at us. A pair of teeth ring together just inches from my hand, and then I hear PETA cry out, feel the yank on his body, the heavy weight of boy and mutt pulling me over the side. If not for the grip on my arm, he'd be on the ground, but as it is, it takes all my strength to keep us both on the curved back of the horn, and more tributes are coming. Kill it, PETA! Kill it! I'm shouting. And although I can't quite see what's happening, I know he must have stabbed the thing because the pull lessens. I'm able to haul him back onto the horn where we drag ourselves toward the top where the lesser of two evils awaits. Cato has still not regained his feet, but his breathing is slowing, and I know soon he'll be recovered enough to come for us, to hurl us over the side to our deaths. I arm my bow, but the arrow ends up taking out a mutt that can only be Thresh. Who else could jump so high? I feel a moment's relief because we must finally be up above the mutt line, and I'm just turning back to face Cato when PETA's jerked from my side. I'm sure the pack has got him until his blood splatters my face. Cato stands before me, almost at the lip of the horn, holding PETA in some kind of headlock, cutting off his air. PETA's clawing at Cato's arm, but weakly, as if confused over whether it's more important to breathe or try to stem the gush of blood from the gaping hole a mutt left in his calf. I aim one of my last two arrows at Cato's head, knowing it'll have no effect on his trunk or limbs, which I can now see are clothed in a skin-tight, flesh-colored mesh. Some high-grade body armor from the Capitol. Was that what was in his pack at the feast? Body armor to defend against my arrows? Well, they neglected to send a face guard. Cato just laughs. Shoot me, and he goes down with me. He's right. If I take him out and he falls to the mutts, PETA is sure to die with him. We've reached a stalemate. I can't shoot Cato without killing PETA too. He can't kill PETA without guaranteeing an arrow in his brain. We stand like statues, both of us seeking an out. My muscles are strained so tightly they feel they might snap at any moment. My teeth clenched to the breaking point. The mutts go silent, and the only thing I can hear is the blood pounding in my good ear. PETA's lips are turning blue. If I don't do something quickly, he'll die of asphyxiation, and then I'll have lost him, and Cato will probably use his body as a weapon against me. In fact, I'm sure this is Cato's plan because while he stopped laughing, his lips are set in a triumphant smile. As if in a last-ditch effort, PETA raises his fingers, dripping with blood from his leg up to Cato's arm. Instead of trying to wrestle his way free, his forefinger veers off and makes a deliberate X on the back of Cato's hand. Cato realizes what it means exactly 1 second after I do. I can tell by the way the smile drops from his lips, but it's 1 second too late because by that time, my arrow is piercing his hand. He cries out and reflexively releases PETA, who slams back against him. For a horrible moment, I think they're both going over. I dive forward, just catching hold of PETA as Kato loses his footing on the blood-slick horn and plummets to the ground. We hear him hit, the air leaving his body on impact, and then the mutts attack him. PETA and I hold on to each other, waiting for the cannon, waiting for the competition to finish, waiting to be released. But it doesn't happen. Not yet. Because this is the climax of the Hunger Games, and the audience expects a show. I don't watch, but I can hear the snarls, the growls, the howls of pain from both human and beast as Kato takes on the mutt pack. I can't understand how he can be surviving until I remember the body armor protecting him from ankle to neck, and I realize what a long night this could be. Kato must have a knife or sword or something, too, something he had hidden in his clothes, because on occasion, there's the death scream of a mutt, or the sound of metal on metal as the blade collides with the golden horn. The combat moves around the side of the cornucopia, and I know Kato must be attempting the one maneuver that could save his life, to make his way back around to the tail of the horn and rejoin us. But in the end, despite his remarkable strength and skill, he is simply overpowered. I don't know how long it has been, maybe an hour or so, when Kato hits the ground and we hear the mutts dragging him back into the cornucopia. Now they'll finish him off, I think. But there's still no cannon. Night falls and the anthem plays, and there's no picture of Kato in the sky, only the faint moans coming through the metal beneath us. The icy air blowing across the plain reminds me that the games are not over, and may not be for who knows how long, and there is still no guarantee of victory. I turn my attention to PETA and discover his leg is bleeding as badly as ever. All our supplies, our packs, remain down by the lake where we abandoned them when we fled from the mutts. I have no bandage, nothing to staunch the flow of blood from his calf. Although I'm shaking in the biting wind, I rip off my jacket, remove my shirt, and zip back into the jacket as swiftly as possible. That brief exposure sets my teeth chattering beyond control. PETA's face is gray in the pale moonlight. I make him lie down before I probe his wound. Warm, slippery blood runs over my fingers. A bandage will not be enough. I've seen my mother tie a tourniquet a handful of times and try to replicate it. I cut free a sleeve from my shirt, wrap it twice around his leg just under his knee, and tie a half knot. I don't have a stick, so I take my remaining arrow and insert it in the knot, twisting it as tightly as I dare. It's risky business. PETA may end up losing his leg, but when I weigh this against him losing his life, what alternative do I have? I bandage the wound in the rest of my shirt and lie down with him. "Don't go to sleep," I tell him. I'm not sure if this is exactly medical protocol, but I'm terrified that if he drifts off, he'll never wake again. "Are you cold?" he asks. He unzips his jacket and I press against him as he fastens it around me. It's a bit warmer, sharing our body heat inside my double layer of jackets, but the night is young. The temperature will continue to drop. Even now, I can feel the cornucopia, which burned so when I first climbed it, slowly turning to ice. "Kato may win this thing yet," I whisper to PETA. "Don't you believe it," he says, pulling up my hood, but he's shaking harder than I am. The next hours are the worst in my life, which, if you think about it, is saying something. The cold would be torture enough, but the real nightmare is listening to Kato moaning, begging, and finally just whimpering as the mutts work away at him. After a very short time, I don't care who he is or what he's done. All I want is for his suffering to end. "Why don't they just kill him?" I ask PETA. "You know why," he says, and pulls me closer to him. And I do. No viewer could turn away from the show now. From the game maker's point of view, this is the final word in entertainment. It goes on and on, and eventually completely consumes my mind, blocking out memories and hopes of tomorrow, erasing everything but the present, which I begin to believe will never change. There will never be anything but cold and fear and the agonized sounds of the boy dying in the horn.